because, you know, maybe we could use, you know, his free book, right?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah,
right, well, yeah.
Yay. It's on YouTube. All his videos are on YouTube. And then you can, like, search Google search for his book or his lecture notes.
Yeah.
And it's 400 pages. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So yeah. We need that. We need to put that data on the wiki.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, show you. I have a PDF.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Say again? Wiki's at fweb.wallawalla.edu. And so any of you guys that want an account on the wiki, let me know and I'll sign you up. I had to make it so you have to sign in with a thing because the spam bots came along and they started advertising Viagra on my wiki.
Really?
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know. So, I mean, you know, I really kind of liked it so anybody could edit it. Nobody actually edited pretty much other than my students.
How does Wikipedia keep
that? Do you do like an email?
It's self-correcting.
Yeah, I can go on there and it will email you a password. I just type in your email address and it emails you a password. And then you can go out, sign on, and change it.
I think it may be because you...
And maybe I should just do it for everybody. I mean, I could do that. If you all want an account there. I don't know. Do you all want an account? I could just do that for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just do that for everybody.
We run across.
And then anytime you come up with something, all you do is you don't have to go through sending me an email. Just go there and add it in. It's easy. So. Okay. And then the next thing is, you know, this is my idea about what to fix this is, okay, but I also need to know what to do to fix, you know, whatever those guys weren't happy about last quarter, okay? Which, you know, at least from their comments, appeared to be, you know, there was one comment about the book, okay? And I'm not quite sure what I could do about that other than, you know, ideas like you get. That's a good idea. And I had lots of comments, like, about the exam. And, you know, there were comments like... actually, a number of comments that said, you know, we spent a lot of time learning how to do programs in Octave, and then that wasn't on the exam, you know.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, you know, that's like we learned all this stuff and didn't get any credit for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess in my opinion, what I was trying to do was make sure that you learned the stuff, and I wasn't so worried about whether you got credit for it on the exam or not. What I wanted to know was that you learned it. And in some ways they did get quite a bit of credit for it because one of their exams was replaced with a project which was programming and stuff in Octave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still got, you know, quite a number of comments. They didn't like the Octave, but of course at that point they didn't understand that they were going to Riley classes. and you know, it's like if you know it, you are way ahead of all the other guys who don't. And those other guys, you know, Riley doesn't spend the time I do going through it. He just says, here, do it.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn it. There's tutorials out there. Go figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm just trying to help you out, but I got raked over the coals for that. And I should bring the things down here and go over the other things that they said. But you need to think about what things you're dissatisfied about the class. How can we make it more useful for you? And, you know, then we can discuss those kind of things. And I need to do that. I was talking with Drake, and he said it's too abstract. And I think, you know, maybe I'm trying to get too much that way, right? What I'm trying to do is see abstraction really means that you can apply this thing in a much bigger case, a much bigger scenario, a much bigger thing. And the reason I want that is because you aren't going to be called upon to do exactly the same things that everybody's doing now, you know, with Fourier series or whatever it is. You're going to need to use those same big ideas in something new. And so, to me, the abstract thing, the thing that's useful for everything, is valuable, but it's hard to get it across.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but some of us aren't just that smart.
Well, yeah, I know.
Actually, I mean, we can, but we'd have to take it slower or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Drake?
I'm not saying the abstract's bad, but if you can start with the
concrete, sure.
Yeah, how we do it. And then
derive the abstract from the concrete.
Right, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I'm going to do more examples. I think that may help. I don't know. Travis.
I sucked at this when I was teaching last year, but
mm-hmm.
I spent about a quarter of the time on the test trying to figure out what the question was asking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know. And that, in some ways. In some ways, it's unintentional things that I'm doing, but in other ways, it is kind of intentional that you have to think about what does this really mean? Because in the real world, that's the way you get questions. You know, they are not well thought out. I mean, half the job in the real world is making the question up yourself, you know, and what is the real question and how do you solve that? And often you have to start with somebody else's flawed question, you know. And so, yeah, I'm trying to do that too. But what I can guarantee you is on the exam, you know, if you're having problems on the exam and you don't understand what the question is about, you know, come and ask me. Because if I feel like it's anything, that it was my fault, it wasn't clear because I did it, and you can explain what's not clear to you, and then I can understand that, oh, I'll just, you know, tell you, right? So we do have this opportunity for some feedback, and you don't always have that, but I want to do that on the exam. You know, that's really important to me, that you understand what I'm trying to ask, right? Not that I, you know, made a list, kind of like, do this step, do this step, do this step, although some of my problems are kind of like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I try to do that because I like to actually solve a real thing, you know. And so I'm trying to lead you along through the steps.
See, that's cool and stuff, and I get that, but it's just, like, when the questions are like that,
then you got some.
It took me a lot longer to figure a question out, because then I have to think about it for way longer. Like, maybe some people don't, but I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, ask questions.
Like, maybe
you know.
If I had, like, all day to do the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I've let people have a lot longer on the test, which is a good thing. But, you know, we can't do that because, in general, there's some class after this, you know.
One thing I had to. Of the three problems I did,
mm-hmm.
I got 82%.
Yeah, right.
So it was mostly that I had trouble translating the question into something that I could understand.
Right, yeah. What do I do now? You know, the things that you did understand, you understood okay. Yeah.
And it took me long enough to do those three that
there wasn't any time left.
I had an appointment at 1.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I ended up redoing starting at problem for running out of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, the idea is think of something you can do to convince me that you understand Fourier series. You know, come and run it by me at first if it's going to be a big job for you, you know, so that we can talk it over and I can say, well, you know, you're doing more than you need to, or, you know, here's what I'd really need to get convinced or whatever. Or I think this is a great idea, you know, go for it, you know, whatever. And we can, you know, arm wrestle about, you know, what you need to do to convince me you understand it. That's all. Okay, so I thought what I'd do here today is I would look at, I want to look at that, you know, the test problem was just like the one we did in a review session, right? And so I still didn't get the answer because nobody did the extra credit problem, you know, really to my satisfaction, although one person I think it was you, Mackenzie, had something on the problem previous to that that was basically, man, if you just worked out that whole mess, you would have got the thing. So, you know, good job, man, good job. But, you know, I still don't know the answer, right? So I wanna go through that so that you guys understand, you know, all the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, that we need to do, and then I've got a little MATLAB script that's supposed to calculate that for me, and it's mostly done. I haven't actually spun it through a whole bunch of omega zeros to try, you know, which one is best, but you know, you can look at that and you can understand. And then you also get a little bit of, you know, more work on MATLAB, you know, you get a little more experience there, right? So what we want to do is finish our Fourier series example, right? And then we'll go back to back to Laplace transforms.
Now this example is which?
It's basically, remember on Tuesday we did that example, you know, that, you know, the guys in electronics built this hysteresis oscillator, which mm-hmm. gave us a triangle wave output, and I wanted to change that triangle wave into just a sine wave output, because these function generators, they have, you know, sine, triangle, and square, right? I had triangle and square, and I needed to get sine to have a complete function generator. And so we just filter, you know, low-pass filter the triangle wave to get the fundamental frequency out of that. And unfortunately, I only had a cheesy low-pass filter, right? Just a first-order low-pass filter. And I just wanted to know what was the best cutoff frequency for that first-order low-pass filter, right? And in electronics, all we've always done, we just did it by seat of the pants. Oh, well, try this cutoff frequency, try that one, and, you know, that kind of works. But when we did that, it wasn't agreeing with my seat of the pants zeroth order approximation, saying, well, I'm going to put the omega zero, the cutoff frequency, at the same frequency that the fundamental is. It wasn't coming out as good when we did that, right? I mean, I found out it seemed like a little bit better if we moved that omega zero back. And, you know, that was a little counterintuitive, so I'd kind of like to understand what is the best omega zero. I still don't know, right? And this is an application of Fourier series. It's a real-world application, and it's the one that was on the test, right? So why don't we some of you guys understood it pretty well, and some of you guys still are trying to figure that out. When so, maybe we can work on that.
Which part was that?
That was actually the whole problem. I mean, we started out with a square wave. And I thought, well, we started out with a square wave and we integrate that, and I think that was the easiest thing to do to get a triangle wave, because if I just gave you the thing for the square wave, that was the easiest way to get the triangle wave. You could actually find the Fourier coefficients for the triangle wave, but you could just integrate term by term and get those too, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, we'll just integrate it. That's the easy thing. And then we had the triangle wave, and then what did you have to do? You had to run that triangle wave through a linear time-invariant system, which was the low-pass filter, right? And then you got the output. And then you just needed to compute the harmonic distortion from that output. That's all we were doing, right? So that's what we were doing on the exam. So anyway, let's just do that. In fact, I guess I should turn this thing on. Like it's turning on. So the thing. Now, you know, unfortunately, when I was making the exam the night before, okay, I thought, oh, well, these guys will be better off with sines and cosines than they would with exponentials. Well, I think that actually a lot of you guys might have been better off with the exponentials after I saw the exam, okay? Actually, exponentials are easier to work with than the sines and cosines, okay? They really are, okay? And so, instead of doing it the way the exam did it, I'm going to do it this way, okay? So first of all, We want to find the Fourier series for a square wave. So here it is, right here. Okay, here's t. I'm going to make this 0 here, so it's an odd square wave, and this is cap t right here, because you see it's repeating there. And I'm going to make it 1 high here and minus 1 high here. Okay, and so the Fourier series, if I call this thing S of t for the square wave, S of t will equal this summation n equals minus infinity to infinity of the C sub n e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t. Do you agree? Is that's this the Fourier series, right? The complex Fourier series. And the C sub n's, you can get that by doing the inner product. I won't go through that again, but we've done this a number of times before. It's just 1 over t, and then it's, you know, this 1 over t was because the e to the j 2 pi n t over cap t's are not a unit length, okay? So if we went from like minus t over 2 to t over 2, and then I've got the square wave s of t, e to the minus j 2 pi n t over cap t dt, okay? That was what we derived for the c sub n. And S of t is now the square wave, right? So now it's just a little bit of calculus. So I'm going to write C sub n here, and we'll actually work it out. I'm going to have 1 over t, and then it's going to be a sum of two integrals. I'm going to have to do the integral from right back here, which was, you know, this will say, this is minus t over 2, right? I'm going to go from minus t over 2 to 0, and in that range, the square wave is minus 1. So I've got minus e to the minus j 2 pi n t over cap t dt. And then I'm going to have the from over here, from there to there, it's just 1. So this would be like from 0 up to t over 2, and this would be e to the plus j, or e to the minus j 2 pi n t over cap t dt with a plus 1 here, right? This is the square wave there, and the minus 1 here is the square wave on the left-hand side. Does everyone agree? And so you just do this integral right here, and I did it, and I came out with this. Something like this. 1 minus cosine of n pi over j n pi. Let me just double check that's what I got here. If I'm assuming you guys can do the integral. Everybody knows how to do that integral. It's an easy integral, e to the x integral, and I'm just going to look at what I got here. 1 minus cosine n pi over j n pi. That's what I got, okay? So I just did that. You can do it with Wolfram Alpha. You can do it by hand, however you like. And, you know, it took me probably down to here or something. Is that all right? Is that okay? Any other questions? Okay, so now we got that. Now, suppose I have a triangle wave, right? A triangle wave would be the integral of this square wave, right? So what would that be? That would look something like this, you know? Right? I'm guessing something like that. That would be my triangle wave, okay? And so the triangle wave, I'll count it, what did I call it up here? I called it TR. TR, so I'll call it TR here. T sub R or something. So, T sub R of T. This is T sub R of T, the triangle wave, okay? Just equals the integral of this S of T, right? Right? That's all it is, right? Now, that will be a Fourier series, right? Because the S of t is a Fourier series, so that's going to be this Fourier series here. N equals minus infinity to infinity. And now, how are the C sub n's going to change? I mean, there are several ways you can go about this. Can you tell me how are those C sub n's going to change just right off the bat? I mean, could I do that? I mean, I could just integrate this. When I integrate this, what happens? Yeah, you divide by j 2 pi n over cap t, right?
Right.
That's what you're dividing by J omega sub n, right? I mean, it's you're dividing by J omega. When you integrate, you divide by J omega, right? Omega is 2 pi n over cap t, right?
Yeah.
So this is like a linear filter, isn't it? Integrating is a linear filter. Just dividing by, in the n space, is dividing by 1 over J 2 pi n over cap t, right? 1 over J omega. Okay. So that's like pretty easy, I think. So I just divide this, I'll just take C sub n divided by 2 pi n over cap t, and I'll put a j there, so that's j omega. So now this is the e to the j, I'll call it omega sub n t, omega sub n is equal to 2 pi n over cap t. Then I wouldn't even have to put this, I just put in that, right? Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if I just integrate this term by term, you see it divides by J 2 pi n over cap t, right? And, you know, and we'll check this out in octave and make sure it plots okay, okay? That's all. Okay, so now I got the triangle wave, right? So now I want to take the triangle wave right here. You know, actually, you know, I want to put the triangle wave, I want to put TR of t into a linear time invariant system which has a transfer function which is 1 over 1 plus j omega over omega 0, right? This is the transfer function for the thing, and I want to see what comes out, right? Do you agree? This was the transfer function for the low-pass filter, right? That was like given to you on the exam. And by the way, some of you guys, like, man, like Mackenzie, he derived that from the low pass filter. He wrote out an R and a C, and he just, and he got the whole thing, you know? Oh, yeah, you're right. It does turn out to be that, right? So that was cool. Okay, so.
Which subproblem was this one?
Which subproblem was this?
This is the.
Okay. I never got there.
I'm trying to find out what comes out of the thing. Actually, the subproblem I. Right, I'm actually jumping, even doing D in a whole bunch. Maybe I should have done D. You know, D was what was put in e to the j omega t and so show what comes out with a low pass filter, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll just do that as an aside over here because we need that. Okay, we don't want to skip steps. So here we have e to the j omega t, right? And I'm going to put that into my system. And we were supposed to show it came out with this thing h of j omega times e to the j omega t, right? And by the way, there was, you know, there was the steps along here to show you that we had this. I guess there was some point in there where we said like e to the j omega t. I like the way some of you guys did this. We had some people use this cosine omega t plus j sine omega t. I mean, what I did was put in an e to the minus. I just changed this thing. I said this was given, then I changed omega to minus omega, and so then this became, you know, I guess it was this. They really said this. I mean, this actually was equal to g of omega e to the j omega t plus theta of omega here, and I just changed omega to minus omega, and then I added the two, you know, e to the j omega t minus e to the minus j omega t over 2j, which is sine, and that's just linearity in one of them. But some people did this, and I thought this was nice here, because if you expand this guy over here, it's g of omega times, and then just use Euler's identity, which was, cosine plus j sine. Okay. Oops, and I forgot the plus theta, right? I better put the plus theta in there. Plus theta of omega plus j sine of the same thing, omega t plus theta of omega. Okay, so here's what some of you guys said. Well, this is just given, you know, using Euler's identity, right? And they said, well, look, at the real part of this has to go to the real part of that, and the imaginary part of this has to go to the imaginary part of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they just said, well, then you can use, well, you can say J sine of omega t goes to G of omega times J sine of omega t plus theta of omega. And then they said, oh, we just divide by J using proportionality, and then you get what you wanted, you know. So that was one of the problems here. And I guess that was nice. Okay. Now, the other problem was we had the differential equation, which was dv out dt plus omega 0 v out equals omega 0 times e to the j omega t. This was given, that's the differential equation you get when you put in e to the j omega t into a low-pass filter with cutoff frequency omega 0. And we were just supposed to show that the output v out of t equals h of j omega times e to the j omega t. And so you just plug that in there. And a lot of you guys made a mistake, and you instead of differentiating, when you plugged it in here, you divided by j omega instead of, that's integrating, right? Differentiating is, it multiplies by the j omega. When you take the derivative of this guy with respect to t, it just multiplies j omega down, right? So anyway, just a little calculus reminder here. So then you get j omega times h of j omega times e to the j omega t, that's the derivative right there, plus omega 0 times h of j omega times e to the j omega t equals omega 0 times e to the j omega t. And then you can divide out the e to the j omega t's everywhere. And then you solve for h of j omega, and you end up with 1 over 1 plus j omega over omega 0 when you do the algebra. It's just a little algebra, not much, right? And that's what you were supposed to do for show that one thing or whatever, right? And then how does this h of j omega go to this? Well, you see, here's the h, you put in e to the j omega t, we got that coming out, right? And when it was given, we got this coming out, right? So if I look at this, what's this? This is g of omega times e to the j theta of omega times e to the j omega t, right? So this guy right here must be h of j omega, right? You agree? It's the thing in front of e to the j omega t, right? So this is actually the way you write h of j omega in terms of polar coordinates, you know? I mean, h of j omega is written as magnitude of h of j omega times e to the j angle of h of j omega, right? That's just the polar way of writing it, right? So that says that g of omega equals magnitude of h of j omega, and the theta of omega equals the angle of h of j omega, right? So that was that problem. Is that okay?
Sorry, could you go over that again?
Okay, so
just that last step there.
From here?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole thing.
So did you get this? This is that. Can you see that? This is like h of j omega, the thing in front of e to the j omega t? Because whatever's in front of e to the j omega t is h of j omega, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so h of j omega is g of j omega e to the j theta. Well, g of omega is a real number, right? G of omega is a real function. And so is theta, right? And so if I write this h of j omega in polar form, here's the magnitude, goes out front, and then I have e to the j angle, right? This is just polar form of writing any complex thing, right?
Maybe show a picture. So.
Yeah. Like this, maybe, huh? There's the real axis and the imaginary axis. And if you have a number here, you know, a and jb here, that's a plus jb, that's the rectangular form, but it's also equal to the square root of a squared plus b squared e to the j angle whose tangent is b over a. And this is called the angle of a plus jb, angle of a plus jb. And this thing right here is called the magnitude of a plus jb. And this thing, this guy, you know, we could write this whole thing here as magnitude of a plus jb, that's the square root part, e to the j angle of a plus jb, and this is the magnitude of the number, and that's the phase or the angle of the number, right? So we can write h that way. Here's the magnitude of h. That'd be the square root of the real part squared plus the imaginary part squared. And then the angle here is the arctangent of the imaginary part over the real part.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I saw that on one of your past lectures and it made a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever showed us this
thing right here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I should have. This is all stuff I some of this kind of stuff I assume you saw this in circuits, you know. And I have this problem that I, you know, assume you know stuff from previous classes that sometimes you don't.
Well, and it is slightly different syntax too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which can be very confusing.
Yeah, right. All the notation is confusing. I understand. Yeah. But does that make sense here? Does this then you see how this is just that's all that is, right? Okay, so now we've got the h of j omega, so we just got this thing, and this is what comes out. I'm going to call this si of t. That's what comes out. That's the supposed to be sine wave. It's not really a sine wave, but it's supposed to be, right? It's trying for a sine wave. It's a filtered triangle wave, and it looks kind of like a sine wave, and I'd like to make it look as much like that as possible, right?
So it's kind of a...
Yeah, it's kind of a sine wave.
So is this how the signal generators work then?
Yeah, and those ones like those wave techs you got, that's all there. This is stupid, right? You know, now you guys know, oh shoot, I could build one of those.
Well, maybe we should.
Yeah, well, maybe you take do. Electronics, yeah. They do. Anyway, so okay. So how can I take TR and find SI? I need to find SI from TR. Help me.
Multiply times that.
A single component of the Fourier series.
Okay, so I've got SI. SI of T is going to be some Fourier series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be N equals minus infinity to infinity. And it's going to be something times e to the j omega sub N T, right? Or 2 pi N T over cap T, right?
It's going to be shifted.
Yeah, it's going to be shifted.
Yeah.
But that's this guy is the guy that shifts it, right?
Yeah.
So what goes here?
Oh, okay.
I take this guy right here, which is the triangle, right?
Mm-hmm.
C sub n over j omega sub n, and then I have to multiply by this guy right here, right? So it's 1 over 1 plus j omega over omega 0, right? And that shifts it, right? That moves the gives this phase shift on here, this angle of h of j omega that Joe's talking about, right? Is that okay? Now, I should mention that the thing that made me make that last problem extra credit, there was two things. First of all, it was taking too long to get the exam done, so it was too much. But the second thing that made it really rough was when I did this thing with sines. Well, what happens when you do this kind of a thing right here? You can find the output in terms of the sines by, doing this thing right here, adding the angle after the omega t and so on. But if you don't use the real the Fourier series with complex exponentials here, then those new sine waves are shifted, and each one of them is shifted a little bit differently than the last one, right? And those sine waves are no longer orthogonal to one another. And if they're not orthogonal to one another, then you can't do the thing I'm going to do next, which is going to find the power in this thing by looking at the magnitude squared of these things. And, McKenzie saw that, and so he just said, oh, look, you just got to integrate this whole mess, right? And he wrote the whole thing out there, and it was exactly what you needed to do. But I was hoping to make it so it would be an easy thing where you could just sum a bunch of, like a bunch of C sub n's, right? But no, you had to do that. Or you could take that shifted sine waves. There's a trig identity that says cosine of A plus B is, and you can make that into a little bit of a sine and a little bit of a cosine, using that angle addition formula. And then you would have the Fourier series again, ones with cosine terms and ones with sine terms, because it's not odd or even anymore, right? This guy coming out is not going to be odd or even. We'll look at it and see it on the screen here, right? So maybe what we should do is plot this thing. So let's plot this thing, and then we'll look at how we compute the... Well, we'll be out of time. So about all we're going to do is look at how to plot this thing. But next day we'll look at how we compute the power and the harmonics and so on from those C's. Okay, so I need the other terminal here. That one. Okay, so Here we go. Okay, now what I've done here very briefly is I've just done what we've done before, and I got all three of them there. Okay, so here's the square wave. Okay. Here's the triangle wave. Okay. And here's the, quotes, sine wave. Notice it shifted over, right? Now, when you went from square wave to triangle wave, it went from all sines to, this is now cosines, right? And I thought, oh yeah, that's great. But the problem is when you go and you run it through the other filter, this is now not even or odd. And so you have to have both the sine and the Fourier and the cosine Fourier series, or you could just use the complex exponentials, which is so much easier. Well, it's not still not an even or an odd function. If you look at this thing, it's not the same, not symmetric. You know. Yeah, you're toast. You're really toast. But you can do it with the complex exponentials, really nice. And next day we'll compute the distortion. I'm with this specific one here. I've got my distortion computed at 0.26%. You know. That's not too bad. That's actually with omega zero at the fundamental frequency. That would have been my first guess. And then, next day we'll play around with it, and I can show you the code next day. It's not that hard.
You can just port it over and calculate, store d as a vector, and then plot that.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should be able to just plot that as a function of omega zero. But I hadn't quite finished that part here yet. And I haven't showed you how to get that from the C sub n's here. I mean, actually, we have done that before, but not here, right? So, this, suppose you took this thing that we just did, okay, that we worked on Tuesday and that we worked on just now, okay? And now I've kind of showed you all the details to it. But suppose you came up with a similar problem, something like this, right? And you wrote this up. That would convince me that you understood Fourier series, right? If you could dream up how to do this, right? I would be saying, oh yeah, you understand, okay?
If I could dream up how to do what?
How to do this, figure out this harmonic distortion on this problem. I mean, this is a real world problem, right? Now, if you just copied that from somebody else, I'm not totally convinced, right? But if you could dream this up, and do this on your own, I am totally convinced, okay? Does that make sense? I mean, and that's kind of, it was on the exam, and some of you guys totally convinced me on the exam, okay? But some other people still need to convince me somehow.
I didn't have time.
Yeah, I know, it's going to take time, and I'm... don't know what to do, but somehow you got to figure out a way, right?
Yeah, I got good grades on what I did, and then I didn't do anything.
Right. Well, maybe you could do the rest of it. I don't know. Are there any questions? Okay.
Are you going to have any time later this afternoon?
Yeah, I'll be around for a while.
Using phasers for what?
It's also
everything.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just assumed that was like,
See, we talked about, we went straight from phasor form to polar form, but we didn't really talk about how the angle
came into it. Yeah.
That really makes sense, though.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that before. I just, some of these things I make this mistake of assuming that you understand, and you got to tell me when it doesn't make sense.
But no, that's angle.
What's that?
It didn't make connection to the stuff before.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow we got to make all the connections. Okay, Travis, I'm going to get your picture here. I wasn't fast enough.
It'd be kind of hard to take you out.
Oh, I wouldn't take him out. I want him in the picture.
I mean, so you could see the notes.
Yeah. I guess I need the notes too, right?
You don't need the notes. We need the notes.
Well, no, if you need the notes, I need the notes.
He does, because yeah, otherwise I need to know what he already
got. Yep. Discouraging.
I had moved all these to the right side, mm-hmm. and then I said the real part of that, which would be just.
Well, if you just put this thing, you see the problem is this thing has J's, right?
Right, but then down here, I said the real portion of this.
Well, the problem is this is partly right here. See, this isn't e to the j omega t. This is cosine. And so you can't just take the real part of this.
You can't do that?
No, it wouldn't quite be right. Try it out, work it out. I mean, we can, and if you can't see it, I can work it out for you. But it won't quite come out right. It's got to be real part of that thing, this guy right here, this transfer function times e to the j omega t. And so you really would have wanted to have this thing
just the real part of this, and then... This?
Well, no, it's the real part of this thing times this guy right here with an e to the j omega t instead of a cosine. You're kind of mixing the two ways. Or what you do is you take this magnitude and you put it in front of the cosine, and the angle of the h of j omega, you put it after the omega t in the cosine. I mean, that's the thing right here,
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
I mean, you put the angle after and the magnitude in front.
I either should have just...
You were kind of mixing the two ways, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I can't.
Yeah. And then I did that.
But you did really well on the thing. You know, in my opinion, you did well. So good job. Good job. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, if this other business other than a test works, maybe we can have that as an option for the test next time, too. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something, because student evaluations were really bad because of... It was all about tests, right? I mean, at least that's what they said. And I don't know if that's the only thing they were griping about, but the evaluations were really bad, and the gripes were about tests. So I want to do something different to make you guys happier than they were last quarter.
Well,
yeah.
To be honest, I kind of like how it is.
Yeah, well, some people like how it is and some people don't. And you're putting in the time. Other people don't have as much time to put in. You know? So they're kind of worried about it.
I definitely didn't do well on that.
You didn't do as well on that as you did on this, huh?
No, and...
Oh.
I'm thinking I'm gonna need to, try and do something to help my grade out.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Is
I need, yeah, there's possibilities. It depends on, you know, how everybody did, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully you didn't do too bad.
Well, that second problem, I missed that lab because I was doing that other test, so
yeah,
I wasn't really sure what was going on with that.
Yeah.
And on the other ones, I didn't get enough practice in doing the problems. So
yeah, right.
I'll probably.
Well, you were there yesterday when I told everybody what there was going to be some problems off the old exams, weren't you?
Yeah. Like I said,
it just wasn't time to get them all done before then.
Yeah.
But there were a bunch of guys up here in my office, you know, like before the exam, getting the answers. You should have been up there.
Yeah. Well, I stayed up.
Too late.
And,
yeah.
Wanting to stop by and ask you about questions I have because I want to make sure I understand it well.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good.
So.
Yeah.
Expect me next week.
Good. Okay. Sounds good. You too, Ben.